Thank you, Lord, for this great opportunity you've given us to worship you once again this morning, Lord. Right now, we are in the part where you are going to speak to our heart. Let us have the heart of flesh that may be sensitive to your word, Lord. And let us not be hearers this morning, but let us be doers of your word. Bless your message and bless your messenger. Forgive him of his sins, for they are many. And let he speak only what you will have him to. In your precious name, amen. Amen. While you remain stand for a little while, I would like you to open your Bible with me in Ephesians chapter 4. And we are going to read together verses 7 to 16. And we're going to read it a little slow. I want you to see what is given to the church, the gifts, and to us as individual, and why the gifts are given, and what the effect it should have to the church. Ephesians 4, verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up, Thank you. You may be seated. Unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gifts of Christ. Some to the church, it is given, some as apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting, which is the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ. So the church are given all these. And if every one of us is doing what we're supposed to do, you're going to see growth. You're going to see we are in truth and we are speaking the truth in love. But he also gave examples what we have been studying about what Christians or those models should look like. And that's what we've been studying. He gave pastors, teachers, and what we call to pastors. We get that from 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1-7. And that's what we've been studying. 1 Timothy 3:1-7. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless. We've been over that. The husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy or filthy looker, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. So he is giving the description of what Christians should look like. And of course, the bishop, which are the overseers, which are the pastors, the elders, there should be this model. And that's what we have been studying. And one key point to keep in that is that the elders are the mature Christians, those who should get to that level that everybody should be able to copy from, to get that model from. And the bishop is the office of overseeing. And then you have the pastors, what you call, it's to pastor, how to do the job. Okay, how to do the job. To do the job by caring and feeding, by shepherding. Okay? So this morning we get to being hospitable. A Christian should be giving to hospitality, especially the elder. The word hospitality comes from a Greek word which is philo xenos, two words, philo, love, xenos, stranger. So the word means love of strangers, lover of strangers. Obviously, I don't know if you would agree with that, but that's the way it used to be in the past, and I believe it's still the same. When somebody new come in town, the stranger is vulnerable. They don't know where to go, where is it safe, where is it not. And they are targeted by people in town who, with bad intention, they are taken advantage of. Everybody wants to whip them off. If they are a tourist, they want to sell them something that costs more than it costs. So being lovers of strangers, you will see residents would be willing to come out and help and tell them, this neighborhood, you should not be walking here. You should be home by, you know, that's what it is. And those who are immigrant to the United States, whether legal or illegal, you know what does that mean. When people, whether cross the fence or come by boat, they need somebody to receive them. and totally stranger to you. But when you see this person is being hunted by immigration, and you, I don't know, somehow you help out. Growing up, and I believe it's still going on, at home, every day, our parents will have a spare plate because it's the way food are cooked. If you have four children and you have different neighbors around, you see a plate laying all over the kitchen, and they're putting food for Hubert, for Natalie, for this, for that. And then there is always a spare plate just in case somebody comes, a stranger passing by. So that shows how they're expecting, they're preparing for strangers to come. And also, this stranger coming to your house or loving or receiving doesn't have to be you, just you preparing it. Somebody may be in France and they call you and say, hey, I have a friend coming in town. Or I met somebody who is coming to France, to the USA. They don't have a place to stay. Would you receive him? So it might not be you, but somebody else. And we know as men, we do that a lot to our wives. We just come home to say, hey, so-and-so is coming. Or I have a group coming. We do that. And it's interesting how Paul would include that as a qualification for elders, because it seems like really the wives would do everything. But yet the man, he has to be the lover of strangers, okay? Now I must tell you, it doesn't just happen. It's not like you are born and just you love strangers. It's something you nourish. I'm not going to stay too much on strangers because I think the culture we have now, especially in the U.S., we are even afraid of strangers. We don't. But I just define the word for you to know where it comes from, and it really means strangers. And we're going to go deeper into that. But among us, who are the strangers if we have to practice hospitality? Who are the strangers? You know the story of Jonah, and if you don't, go ahead and read it. It's not long. But God in chapter 4:11 told Jonah, because Jonah wanted God to really destroy the city, and God did not, and Jonah was mad. Jonah even said, that's why I didn't want to come, because I really know how merciful you are. You wouldn't do what you should do, destroy him. And God answered to Jonah, and should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right and their left hand, and also much cattle? Jonah was mad because God destroyed a tree that he used for shadow. He also was mad because God did not destroy the people. And the Lord says, so you are mad because I destroyed this tree, but you wanted me to destroy all these people? These people, all they needed to know, they needed to know which way to go. They don't know the difference between left and right. The strangers among us are people who don't know. They just need to know. They just need to know. They just need a little help. But unfortunately, sometimes we have the attitude Jonah has. We love God so much that we hate sinners. We love God so much that we hate anybody who are not doing what you think they should be doing. we don't receive him. In Hebrews chapter 5, 1 and 2, the Bible talks about the high priest. It says, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? For that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. They are among us ignorant. They just don't know. They are among us those who are out of the way. And the high priests are there to have compassion on them, to receive him, to invite them, to help him out. And staying in Hebrews 13, 1, 2, the Bible says that, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Remember from the very beginning of our series how we talked about how Jesus cares for the weak, those who are neglected, how he cares for his lamb, for his sheep. So when you entertain strangers, you may be entertaining Jesus himself. He said that in Matthew 25, 31 to 46. We're not going to read all of it. You know it. And then when he, in 34, he said, then shall the, you know, he put the sheep and the lamb, the goat on his left. He separated them. And then in 34, the king say unto them that are in his on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Verse 35, for I was in hunger, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. I was naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. And then shall the righteous answered him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee in hunger and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Ye have done it unto me. Now, hospitality, you're not born with it. It's inherited. It's learned. And that's why don't give the excuse to say, oh, I don't have the gift of hospitality. We all can be hospitable. Everyone. I'm sure you remember, you know the story of Abraham entertaining the three angels. In Genesis chapter 18, 1 to 5, and I want you to pay close attention to that. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. That was during, it was hot. And the Lord, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. And said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water I pray you, be fetched and wash your feet and rest yourself under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your heart. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, do so, as thou hast said. Now he saw the man. It's like he was looking for an opportunity. And he would not let this opportunity pass by. He said, please, it's hot. I'll give you some water and to wash your feet and just rest a minute under this tree, because I'm going to make some food for you. But did Abraham go himself and make food? I feel sorry for Sarah. He just going to serve food. But this man was a lover of stranger. But what I want you to remember is Lot. Lot was raised by Abraham. And he learned the same things from him. In the next chapter, the same angels walk toward Sodom and Gomorrah in chapter 19, verses 1 to 3. And there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat, even mean evening, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground and said, behold now, my Lord, tune in, I pray you, into your servant's house and tarry all night and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. He learned that from Abraham. I really have no doubt he learned that. He was raised in the house where hospitality used to be practiced. And you see, the pressing, the wording almost identical. Our children will learn from us. Now, would you be surprised if your children don't practice hospitality when you grow up? Would you say, man, I don't know where they get this from, because in my house, we did practice hospitality. I think for you and I, we need to ask ourselves, is a house used for hospitality? Because our children will learn that. And if we don't open our house unto that, they will not either. Or they will have to learn it from somewhere else. But I must say, and I try other ways to say it, I could not, so I just put it in plain Creole, Haitian Creole. Sou pa gen ke ou pa jwe pou ke. It's like Jesus said, count the cost. Count the cost. If you don't have the heart, that's what it says in Creole, you don't play, you don't gamble. Because gambling means you may lose, you may win, right? We say that to kids who are playing tough games and they're fighting, and when they're crying, you say, hey, if you don't have the heart, don't do it. Hospitality cannot be forced onto you. You have to choose to do it because it costs. Spiritual hospitality is a form of Christian service, and every form of Christian service will cost you something. That's why Jesus said, before you build a house, count the cost to see if you start, if you can finish. You cannot do it because the church asks you, or because somebody else is doing it, or because you don't want to be add, or you don't, you want to be as a team player, if you're not ready to count the cost, please don't do it. It can be sacrificial. The same verses we read in verse 19, in chapter 19. You see how Lot pressed the strangers to come in? And then right after verse 3, in verse 4 in chapter 19, let's read what took place. But therefore they lay down. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, come past the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And I must say, know them is really having sexual relationship with them. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known men. I will be willing to give them to you and do whatever you want with them. But as far as these men, they are my guests. They are under my roof. Do you see the responsibility you have? Do you see how far this can lead? How easier would it be? Well, guys, I try hard. Actually, you are strangers, and my daughters, they're precious, and I'm sorry. I tried to help, but it could not work, so sorry, and give them away. But you see, it's a great responsibility when you have somebody under your roof. They are under your charge. Or you may say, well, that will never happen to me. Or I tell you what, search to see how many things happen. People you invite in your house, they steal from you. In some cases, they come actually to kill. All kind of stuff. And yes, all is possible. And yes, it still means counting the price. If you don't feel ready for whatever, if you just see the good side of it, and when you think about the other side, you get scared, don't do it. Because this hospitality we're talking about, it includes everything. This will cost you privacy, sleeping space, food, money. If you are one who doesn't want people to touch your stuff, I have been to houses like that. I am received, and I am told to feel at home. But you cannot touch stuff. You just, if you don't want your silverware or to get lost or your glasses to break or you're so sensitive for your stuff, keep your home for yourself. Don't open it. Because there might be costs that will not please you. But we do invest. Some of you invest money in stuff, right? You invest money, and it's a risk. And some of you probably lost money already before have lost money. It's the same thing. When you invest in hospitality, it's a spiritual investment. You may lose, you may gain. And hospitality varies with needs. Those weak, people who are weak or the ignorant. Maybe it might be some people who need advice, some people who need encouragement, some people need guidance. If you look the timing, the angel, the three men came to Abraham. It was hot, so he offered them to rest for a while, and he offered them water. He will give them some to eat, and they can continue on. But by the time they get to Lot, it was evening, and Lot forced them to say, hey, sleep all night, because that's what they will need. And sleep all night, and early in the morning, they can go. So not everybody will have the same need. And that's why we also read in Ephesians that we are equipped with different gifts. So depending on your gift, it will be used for hospitality. You bring somebody in your house because you see the needs of advising the person. So you open your house so you can have this opportunity. Maybe somebody need guidance, or they need whatever the help they need. It doesn't have to be just come for food or just to be in your house. You see a need and you bring them in so you can help them out. We are going to read Luke chapter 14, 12 to 14, where Jesus advised a guest and he taught his disciples. Luke chapter 14, 12 to 14. Jesus was invited to a house. He was guest. He was the guest. And he told the guest, in verse 12, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. I want you to see from these scriptures that the initiative must be taken by you. Don't wait for somebody to come, hey, can you invite me in your house? You see a need, you take the step forward. You make the first step. But he's advising him. He said, do not invite your friends, do not invite your brethren, do not invite thy king's men, do not invite your rich neighbors, because if you do so, they will invite you too. They will feel, oh, so-and-so invited me two times now, it's time that I invite them to pay them back. And after a while, your friends will not keep coming. They'll feel embarrassed because they feel like you are being abused by them and they want to repay. That's normal. You will be repaid. It's like the Bible says, if whatever you do, if you do it to show off, and you get the recompense right there. But you have to do things that you cannot get repaid, and then your recompense will be in heaven. I use these verses to tell you there is a difference between social hospitality and spiritual hospitality. Is there anything wrong by having friends in house? Is there anything wrong by inviting your brethren, your kinsmen, your rich neighbor? Nothing wrong. Jesus himself, actually, he was invited. Nothing wrong. But I just want you to make a difference, to know exactly what you do when you have people around. If you have your brethren around, it's just to socialize. But no spiritual benefit in it. You just have together, have fun and food, and next time you go back to their house and then fun and fun. So it's just normal things we do. But this is not what we are talking here this morning. This is something you do anytime, every time, for whatever reason we do it. But what this scripture is talking about is more talking about some things that you will not get paid back for it. He continued to say, but when thou makest a feast, invite the poor, invite the maimed, invite the lame, invite the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. So keep that in mind when you are having people in your house. Keep that in mind and make a clear difference. Is it just to socialize with your friends, or is it something with spiritual benefits? None is wrong, but except when you get paid right away, you get your money back. And the other one, you will have it at the resurrection. It's an investment. If you remember Apollos, he was invited by Aquila and Priscilla, because they saw in him he had a spiritual need. He needed to be fine-tuned in his theology. He was new in the Christian's doctrine. They heard him speaking, and they felt that he needs some help, so they bring him in. In Acts chapter 18, 24, 26, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born of at Alexandria, he was eloquent, he was mighty in the scriptures, he was instructed in the way of the Lord, he was fervent in the spirit. He spake and he taught diligently the things of the Lord, but he only knew the baptism of John. He had the lack. And Priscilla and Aquila, they saw it. They realized that. And when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. It's like you see a need. So when you invite somebody, it's not just to have somebody over for food or whatever. You see a need deeper than food. Actually, when we first started practicing this in our ministry in Haiti, it was tough, really tough, because people could not understand it wasn't about food. The way we started it, every Sunday, we would ask the families to go to one family so they can spend the afternoon before coming to service. We have evening services. So what we do, if today it's going to be at so-and-so's home, we would put whatever we have together so the food would be prepared at that place. But some people, their houses just, they don't feel the houses is nice enough to receive people. And they feel obligated if they went to so-and-so's home, they were treated such way, they're embarrassed to have them to come. So it was a hard thing to have him to understand it should be something blind as far as material. We just want to practice hospitality and have this tradition of it and make it a culture. Amen. It was really tough. So it's a matter of investing in the needy souls, in people's lives. That's what it is about. Not the feeding of it. You know, you're using your time, your money, your home for an eternal investment. Eternal investment. So it's really tough to practice that when people have it all material. Because you feel like, and I can tell, actually, tonight we will have guests in our house. And you know, you women, how tough it is. You feel like it's your charge when somebody is coming. And you want the house to be spotless. And you want, I mean, it's really hard. But when you think about the spiritual benefits of it, you would do like Mary and Martha. Instead of thinking about all the other things to receive the guest, think about the spiritual. Remember what Jesus told Martha. Oh, you trouble for many things, but one thing is needful. One thing is needful. When you invite somebody, you have to search for the spiritual benefits you can get out of that. You are investing. If you are a smart investor, think about not seeing what you are bringing out, but things what you will bring in. In church, think about when somebody walks in as visitor. Pretty much, if somebody visits our church, there is a spiritual need right there. Are we structured such a way, like we all are looking at it and we see there is a need there? I need to find a way to invite that person, to frame, and just to try to know what is it about. Or is it just in attention, hey, good morning, nice to see you. But do we go even deeper to say, okay, how can I feel the need? Is the church structure for that? Anybody who walked in church, they have a spiritual need. And it's up to us to get this person closer to us and to fill that need and get a spiritual blessing out of that. Now, Jesus clearly explained that our righteousness should exceed the righteousness of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. We all can have people, we all can practice hospitality, but we have to go above what the world, because it doesn't have to be Christian. It's really, really, really interesting when Christians are being so cautious of bringing strangers or people they don't know. And sadly to say, sometimes they don't go the extra miles to keep their house clean. Sometimes it's just so, if I didn't have, if I had such a house or furniture or whatever, because there is a attitude of showing off too. And that's really held people back. But Jesus said in Luke 6, 30 to 35, I'll start from 32, for if ye love them which love you, what think have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what think have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what think have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. I think the point I was trying to make, we had this point earlier, but the point I'm trying to make, the reason why the unsaved are doing things should not be the way we're doing things. Because they do things for their friends because their friends love them. They do for people who appreciate them, who love them. They do things for, like, if you don't go above that, then you're not any better. If in the church you only invite people you feel comfortable with, you just do what any unbeliever would do. Check your list to see who you invite out to your house. Check your list to see if there isn't anybody that you don't even know. Maybe, you know, set your schedule to say, okay, is it once every 2 months or once a month I'm going to have somebody over? Try to do it with somebody you don't really know. That would be our stranger. Matthew 5:20, for I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. That's how far it goes. Because if you say you are so cautious, or people with the same attitude the unsaved have, and that's what you have too, you're not any better. Even your entering into the kingdom of God is in question. Wow. It is in question. Amen. Are you structured? Have you ever given that a thought, that if you are hospitable, if you practice hospitality, do you live your life such a way you make room for that? Or is it something you even have in mind? As individual, remember, there are 24 hours in a day. You have to work. You have to be with family. You have, I mean, all kind of stuff to do. If, as Christians, you don't know hospitality is important, you're not going to make room for that. You're not going to make room for that. You just don't have time. And what happened? You have so much debt also, you have to pick up a second job. You cannot make room for hospitality. You don't have the time. And if you would have a couple hours more, you have to fill it in with a side job. You have to ask yourself, is there any way I can make room? Or is my life is filled so much? Because when you come to church on Sunday, go to study or whatever, I mean, where do I have the room? Where there is a will, there is a way. If you really think it's important, you will make room for it. And what concerned personally me and all of us is our church structured such a way to encourage hospitality. A church is a place where anybody should walk in and find help. Amen. And we should not put ourselves in a position where we say, I'm sorry, do we have a storehouse? Do we have a closet with clothes? I mean, do we even plan for it? So the same way as individual, we need to do that. The church must have that. And anybody who walk in, And again, sometimes we worry about somebody will come to steal, or they will come with a lie, or they, whatever. You know what? There is no excuse for us as a church.
Amen.
No excuse. I don't have the time to come back to the story. I've told it before. In our early years in our ministries, we would bring people in our house that you can just look at them and they smell drugs and they smell all kind of bad deal. And then for few examples, they come out, turn around to you know, some rob us and some did wrong to us, but even if out of 10 you get one, it's good enough. You cannot put a price tag on a soul. And God had truly blessed us. Truly blessed us. Peter reminded us of the old days. He wrote and he definitely remembered how the church started. How every day they would go house to house breaking bread with simplicity of heart. Simplicity of heart. Singleness of heart. And how the church grew, multiplied. And above all things, 1 Peter 4:8-11, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. And God, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Pastor Elise, I'm going to come and stand next to you and ask you to continue to preach the message that you have. But I feel like the Holy Spirit is asking me to do something. I'm going to ask you to read that verse again in its entirety. And anybody in this church that feels like the Holy Spirit speaking to you and saying, you know what, I can do better at hospitality, whatever way that is, just come and let's stand around Pastor Elise as he continues to bring this message.
And
say, you know what, we're going to do our part. Whatever it is God's speaking to me.
And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gifts, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And I will close to say, the greatest way to show love one to another is by receiving one another. Jesus commanded his last commandment before he left. That's the last one he gave to his disciples. He said, a new commandment I give you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. This shall all men by this know that ye are my disciples if ye love one another. What the greatest way to show love by practicing hospitality. There isn't any greater way our neighbors, our communities, will see that we love one another than by seeing we are receiving one another constantly. And we can even invite our neighbors, invite the strangers. Come, somebody's passing by, say, hey, I'm receiving guests. You want to come in? There is no greater love than this. And this is what is presented before us this morning to examine. Practice hospitality. May this not be just words, but may it be living words through our walk in life, through everything that we do. And let not just not say it, but let us do it. God bless you. I'm going to ask.